So Cheryl and I have been, or Cheryl, I shouldn't say I, has been doing a lot of baking this weekend. You wouldn't expect me to be doing that. A lot of baking, and for Alpha, and then for the Sunday school event that's coming up. And so last night we ordered pizza, and she called it in, and we went over together and got the pizza and brought it home, and we feasted together on Homer's pizza. And she even split one of her pieces for me. That was so sweet. And we finished it. We didn't quite finish it all, but most of it. And it was really good. So, you know, we all have a story about eating with someone. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I invite you to turn to the person next to you or find somebody. You might have to move. And tell them about your story of eating a meal with someone, the last meal that you've eaten with someone. Maybe it was last week, maybe it was this morning before we had church. So here's the question. Who is it with? Who did you have that meal with? What did you have? And who cooked it? So take a moment and share what your last meal with someone was. I did. We'll find out what. What was your last meal with someone? Last night? Yeah. What'd you have?
Soup and chicken and salad.
That sounds good. Who made it?
My mom.
That's good. All right, anybody hungry yet? You know, eating is one of the most practical things that we can do. You know, even babies, they know how to eat, and they'll tell you when it's time to eat as well. So we all eat. Most of us eat multiple times a day, sometimes more, sometimes less, but we all eat. And oftentimes, we eat with other people. You know, it might be our families. It could be someone who you know, we invited out, maybe went downtown to Homer's or the Legion or Subway or someplace to have a meal together. You know, my dad, Jack, he loved to eat. And when he had the opportunity to run the cafe in Murdoch, he jumped on it with my mom, although he had never really cooked before. And so he became one of the chefs. And there was a guy who came through town. He was traveling, and he saw their sign, Murdoch Cafe. And so he stopped and came in and ordered some pancakes for breakfast. And so Dad made him up some pancakes, and he brought them and put it on the table. And Dad said that this pancake was falling off the plate. It was so huge. And he laid it down, and the guy kind of looked at it like, oh, interesting. And then they began a conversation, which is one of Dad's best things to do, is have conversation. And so the guy paid, and he left, and a couple weeks later, returned. And Dad remembered him. That was kind of his thing. And they had conversation, so the guy ordered, and when Dad brought him the food, he laid it down before him, and he said, you know, when you were here a couple weeks ago, he said, I just started, cooking, and that was actually the first pancake I've made. And the guy looked at him and he said, yeah, I know. So sharing a meal isn't the only thing that, you know, it's not only about food, it's not only about eating, but it's also about sharing a relationship, enjoying that person with whom we sit down to eat with. You know, over the past 3 weeks, we're discovering that as we bless the people around us who are far from God, we begin to enjoy building a relationship with them as we're joining into the work that God is already doing in their lives to draw them closer to God. So this Sunday, we began the third week of this Blessed Evangelism Initiative, and in it, we're discovering practical ways in which we participate with the work that God is doing by asking simple questions like this. God, where are you already at work in the lives of my friends or neighbors or acquaintances, those who, you know, I want you to help draw near to you, God? And then maybe where do you want me to join you in that work? So last week we learned about listening with care. It's the art of taking the time to listen to another person's story, someone who isn't yet, you know, a Jesus follower. So getting to know their story as we build a relationship with them. You know, I went back and reflected on this past week, and I thought about the conversations I've had, and I really actually have had over 20 spiritual conversations with individuals or couples in the last week. I've listened to some stories, some very interesting situations, and really it's been quite amazing as I've done that. But I realize as I think about these people that I'm having conversation with, all of them are already following Jesus. In other words, I didn't have any conversations with anyone, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, that were not already followers of Jesus. And what I realized out of that is it really takes being intentional about doing that, being intentional about listening to people, having conversation with people who are far from Jesus. So I learned that, again, it does take prayer. It does require beginning the day with, Lord, who do you want me to have conversation with this week? How'd it go for you last week? How'd it go in sharing those stories? Were you able to listen to someone who maybe doesn't yet follow Jesus? You know, I hope that for you, you were able to be a little more intentional about it. And maybe not. You know, I'll report back next week and see how it goes as I begin to pray and invite you to pray for me and pray for one another that we might have those conversations. So the good news, however, is that this week, I am sure that every one of us can do the blessed step that we have. You've already talked about it in that little conversation you had about breakfast, describing with someone what you ate this morning. So today we look at the letter E in bless, which stands for eating together. So if you eat, which I think we all do, you can bless someone this week who is far from God. So how do you do this? Well, we're going to find out from the master teacher himself, Jesus, from Mark chapter 2, as he demonstrates something as simple as eating with someone and how that can be a blessing. So as we follow Mark in this passage again, you can find it up here on the screen, or you can follow in your Bible, chapter 2, verse 14. As Jesus walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. So Levi is also in the other Gospels, if you're kind of wondering or studying this, he's also called Matthew. And most of the Bible commentators are pretty clear that this is the same guy, just maybe a different name attributed to him because of possibly he might have been a Levite in his family history, or a Matthew could be his given name as a follower of Jesus. But either way, he would have been employed as a tax collector by Herod Antipas, who was ruler of this region of Galilee. And where he was is a place where people were coming from distant lands, traveling through Galilee on the north side of the sea in order to go different places. So this was a highly traveled route, a great place for a tax collector to stand or to be, because he could catch the people that are coming and going and get taxes from him. They were considered, as Katie talked about, not very well liked. They were considered traitors because they were collecting money away from the Jewish people for a foreign government. And they also were considered extortionists. An extortionist is someone who squeezes you for money. You ever feel like the IRS is that way? So, you know, we can relate a little bit. I mean, not the IRS people, you know, we like them, but you know, paying our taxes, you know, it's something that we sometimes wonder if it's fair. For the tax collector, the way they made money was to squeeze a little more money out of the person than was actually owed, and they got to keep what was left over. Good system, huh? So Jesus finds Levi at the tax collector's booth, and he invites him to follow him. And Levi gets up and walks away. You know, I think that this is a major step for Levi, because this is like the dream job for someone who wants to get rich quick. This is it right here, this tax collector job. And Levi walks away from all of that to follow Jesus. So in verse 15, we hear, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. So Jesus was with this varied group of followers at this point. They're sitting together, they're eating. Some were believers, some were just becoming believers. You know, we kind of get the impression that Levi is, you know, just left his job to come and be this disciple, to be this follower. And so at this point in the gospel, Levi probably isn't what you'd expect a first century student of a rabbi to be. You know, this group is all mixed up. They all seem to be following, but do we understand at this point what that means for them to be that follower? I think literally it means following Jesus around to find out what he's all about. They're wondering who this guy is, so they're following him. And some are curious, some are serious, you know, some later we find out get furious. It's a little bit of everybody at this point. And when we investigate this scene, we realize that this isn't a normal gathering of religious people, is it? Jesus is calling all kinds into his family. And so the question is, has that changed today? Is it any different here and now? I don't think so. I think a healthy missional church is a church that looks a lot like this scene in Mark chapter 2. You know, Jesus is still calling followers, as Katie talked about, still calling people to discover what it means to belong in the family of God. So we've been going through this reorienting process, I think, in our church, this understanding of our mission at Bethlehem. And it includes this understanding that we need to come alongside people who are still, you know, just beginning to follow, who are maybe even far from God, with an invitation to welcome them into this community of followers. You know, it's kind of like the crowd that follows Jesus. Our invitation is come and see. You know, come and hang out with Jesus' followers. See what it means to be part of the family of God. You know, we're trying to understand what it means for our friends and neighbors to belong with us before even maybe they come to believe. We're realizing that people around us need to come and follow Jesus for a while, just to hang out before they're ready to become believers. So how do people follow Jesus around? How does that work? Well, simply by sharing life together with us. We are the embodiment of Christ to those around us. We are the church in the world. We are the earthly demonstration of God's love and his grace to other people. We're Jesus' model of unconditional acceptance and unconditional love for those who have yet to discover who he really is. And through that work of the Holy Spirit in us, we reflect Jesus' own demonstration of missional hospitality. And as you and I follow Jesus through these Gospels today, we're discovering something amazing, that he's offering this missional hospitality to everybody around him. He's offering it to those who are close to God and those who are far from God. He's offering it to those who fit right in and to those who seem like misfits. He's offering it to the serious and to the curious. You know, the invitation is to come and see. Come and belong, even before you believe, so that you might become or come to become a believer. But isn't that a little awkward? Isn't that a little uncomfortable or maybe even weird? Can people really belong before they believe? You know, the Bible story today tells us that Jesus is the one who's actually hosting this dinner in Levi's house. He's the one who is welcoming the sinners. He's welcoming the tax collectors to this meal. You know, and when we look at this scene, it's a picture, really, of the future kingdom of heaven. It's this invitation to forgiveness and restoration and a foretaste of something that is to come. Author Tim Chester, he says that the meals of Jesus represent something bigger. They represent a new world, a new kingdom, and even a new outlook. You know, Jesus invites the sinners to come and follow, come and taste, come and see, come take your place in the family of God. So how did the religious people react to this Jesus kind of missional hospitality? Well, we read in 16 that when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know, this is a great question that they're asking. It really is. Why is Jesus going out of his way to eat with people who are far from God? You know, to the religious people that are around Jesus, these are the Jewish teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they're named. What Jesus is doing just doesn't make sense to them. For Jesus to be eating with people who are not religious isn't normal behavior for godly people. So for them, it's normal as God followers to eat with, who do you think? Other God followers, right? It's customary to separate their families from non-believers, especially when they're having meals. Their practice is to stick with people who believe the same as they do. They spend their time with people who follow God like they follow God. And they eat with people who eat like they do. So it's important for us to understand that for the religious people who are wondering, you know, what is Jesus doing? The practice of a hospitality actually is very important. They understand the hospitality aspect. They just don't get why he's doing it with who he's doing it. You know, hospitality is commanded in Scripture, and they're serious about keeping it. You know, it's extended to their neighbors around them, and so they were practicing hospitality with their friends and with their families, with the people next door, with other Jews, anyone who was like them. You know, that seemed right. It seemed normal. It seemed safe. It seemed spiritual. So separating their lives from those who were far from God, especially in something this intimate as sharing a meal, eating together, you know, that made sense to them. Practicing hospitality to those like them would keep them pure, would keep them safe, would keep them comfortable, and they won't run the risk of being polluted by the ways of the world. Also important. So what is Jesus doing? This isn't normal. The religious people are asking the right question. Why is Jesus going out of his way to practice hospitality with people who are far from God? You know, why wouldn't Jesus just, you know, stay with the people that know his ways, that eat like he does? Why doesn't he practice hospitality with people like him? So on hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You know, in this statement, we see that Jesus is always on mission. He's even practicing hospitality right here in his eating. So Jesus is eating on mission. He's all about sinners finding their way back to God. And so he's going out of his way to interact with those who are far from God, and he doesn't see them as outsiders. So he sees them as those who belong on the inside. You know, Jesus describes the outcasts and marginalized as those who are becoming his followers. So we think about our friends and relatives, our acquaintances, our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow students who may be, you know, far from God. Are the ones, you know, these are the ones that we wrote down on our list a couple weeks ago to ask God, you know, how can we be part of working with you to draw them closer to you? And so how can we be sure that these are the people that God is actually drawing near to him? And I would say simply this, that unless God has told you that he's not trying, you know, bringing someone near to him or drawing someone near to him, then I would say God is at work in their lives, and you are part of that. You are welcome to join him in their work. And one way that you and I can richly bless others is through this idea of missional hospitality, or in other words, eating together. So now this is the responsive part of the sermon, and I'm going to ask you to answer either yes or no. Just do it right away together. So here's the question. Do you eat? Do you eat with another person? Then you can do what Jesus did. You know, you can practice missional hospitality by eating with others. You know, and maybe we start by simply asking, who do I already share a meal with? And then begin to rethink our eating, this very natural act, in order to become more missional about how we do it. And so there's some ideas that are listed on the insert in your bulletin here on the back side, and they give us ideas about how we can be more missional about our eating together. And so one way is have dinner together in your home or at a restaurant. You know, invite someone in. Maybe share a pizza, kind of like Sharon and I did last night, but maybe we just include another person along with our pizza. That means we'd have to share a little more. Enjoy a cup of coffee together. You know, we can invite someone to come and have a coffee and a roll during church, before services. You know, host a holiday party. You know, the home alone dinner is kind of that idea of that missional hospitality, but why not do it in our own homes or expand that practice even more? Maybe organize a block party or a backyard barbecue. We do that too together as a church, and it's great. We get to interact and meet new people, but why not have our own backyard barbecue and invite the neighborhood? So we could include others in your family celebrations or try a new restaurant together. I guess that's a little harder in Wheaton, but you might drive somewhere and try a new restaurant. Add one person to your meal each week. You know, Cheryl and I did that for about 9 months last year, and it was an amazing experience as we each week had someone come and share and learned about their life. Teach someone how to cook. That would be a good one for me to be taught, so if you want to invite me, that'll work. But you could try an Iron Chef cook-off or something like that. Have fun and enjoy that. Attend their party or event. That's kind of interesting. You know, it's not just about inviting someone in, but going to where they are. Isn't that what Jesus did? He went to Levi's house and hosted a party. So this is something we can all do, but, you know, we can easily get stuck on the reasons not to do it, right? Excuses why we can't practice this kind of missional hospitality. You know, one would be, I don't cook. I can use that one. But, you know, you can order a pizza, right? You know, the bowling alley serves great pizza. You can go there and even play a game of bowling. So the house isn't clean. You know, if that's your worry, here's my answer. Invite someone, and I'm pretty sure the house will be clean by the time they get there. I'm not good at conversation. Well, that's okay. You're the host. You can just invite them to do all the talking. You're doing the cooking. So that'll work too. You can listen, that missional listening. I don't know what they like. You know, you can invite your guest to give them an option. You know, I can serve this or this. What would you like? I don't know, or I can't afford it. Well, you know, I get that. You know, it's hard sometimes to have someone over and to do that. But, you know, you could do a potluck and have them bring part of the meal. A lot of times people are more than happy to share in that responsibility. I don't want to clean up afterwards. Well, you know, have your husband do it. The bottom line is we all eat, right? We all do this. Jesus practiced missional hospitality by eating with those who were far from God, who were not yet Christ followers. So the following quote, it really helps us understand what's at stake here. It's from the book Right Here, Right Now, and the author says this: sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. If every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Changing the world by doing something that we're already doing every day, by eating. You know, and if we really got serious about this and allowing God to use us once a week in this way, you know, if we could literally reach 100 people this week by eating together. So will you bless someone this week through eating? The only reason that you and I are still breathing right now is to engage in God's mission. So ask God, how can I bless someone who is far from God this week by sharing a meal with them? Let's change the world one missional meal at a time. And then come back next week. Over a cup of coffee and a roll, we can share what happened.